Good morning. Okay, we're going to open with a word of prayer, and we'll talk a little bit about what you got in your information packets today and what's going to go on in the conference. And the good news is the air conditioning is turned all the way up, so it's going to come down. All right, so bear with me. You know, you guys who are here first always have to endure the heat of the day, it says, you know, and then it gets cooler in the evening. So, all right, let's open with a word of prayer again. Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for your great and amazing grace in our lives, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose. Father, that you have called those who are here today, Lord God, chosen and faithful, Lord, to represent you here in this day, Lord, and this earth, Father, for your glory, Lord. Father, we're thankful, Father, for those who are going to be speaking today, Lord, and those who are going to come and listen and learn and apply what you have for them to do in their lives, Lord. Father, we pray that you give us ears to hear, Lord. Father, we also ask, Lord, that you give us hearts to speak only your words, Lord God. And Father, give us wisdom to discern, Lord God, anything, Father, that is said that is not of you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. I pray that you empower each and every one here, Lord, and give safe traveling mercies to those who may be still on their way. In Jesus' name, that will be done, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, Robert Leahy, who was kind enough to provide the music today, is also kind enough to provide a free CD for those who would like it. It's on the Free Word Ministry table back there when you first come out. It's the table with the blue gospel, so feel free to pick one of these up. They're absolutely free. Let's go over a little bit what's in your information packets that you received. You'll see there's some literature here. But let's first start with the Advancing God's Kingdom Conference, and that's what this is all about. Our prayer today is that God would encourage you, equip you, and empower you to serve Him. Now, if you look in the booklet, when you get a chance, you'll see a list of all the speakers. You have an agenda, who's going to be speaking on what topics, a little bit about their ministry. Of course, all this stuff is yours. It's free. I've also included a booklet on This Great Battle, which is what I'll be speaking about this morning. And there's some also Christian literature we've included, and we'll go over that in a little bit. Let me ask you a question, because in my discussions I like talking back and forth. Do you think God can save people with vast numbers? Does he need vast numbers to save? Absolutely not. So when you look around today, don't feel shy. Look around, because the evangelism team who helped put this around is looking around and saying, oh my goodness, we thought there was going to be a lot more people. But you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are here and God has chosen you. I believe God would rather have a few Christians who are committed to change this world for Christ than a whole auditorium fill who's just going to sit there and not apply the word of God. And I'm thankful that I can address people like you, because I know and I believe that you're in ministry and you're serving the Lord. And you want to help better learn how to reach others for Christ. And that's what we're here for today. So, let me tell you first a little bit about Free Word Ministries, because that's, my name is Bob Brinkett, and I'm the director of Free Word Ministries. One of the things that we try to do is we facilitate evangelism by bringing together people, resources, and opportunities for Christ. One of the things we do is help put on conferences like this. Today you'll be hearing from 7 different ministries, and all of them actively involved in reaching this world from Christ, and we will introduce each speaker as we go along. Now let me also say that in the back there's facilities. You're free to get up anytime and do whatever you need to do, okay? Absolute freedom. With Free Word Ministries, so getting back to that again. Free Word Ministries is the largest distributor in Texas of the Living Water Gospel of John. That's supplied by Absolutely Free Incorporated. For those of you who don't know, we have an evangelism resource warehouse in the city here. Now, if you pick up one of our business cards, on it you'll see a telephone number. And on that telephone number, it's a voicemail message that'll give you directions and the access codes to our warehouse. And all the items that you need, like Gospels of John, another wonderful resource that God has provided free is these scripture booklets from World Missionary Press, all free. So all you have to do is call that telephone number and go there and take what you need. Now, the warehouse serves the entire city, so sometimes there's a lot and sometimes there's a little. Another thing that Free Word Ministries does is we supply free display racks for Christian businesses and churches. A display rack like that one over there on that folding table. If you have a Christian business, we'll put one in for free, or a church, we'll put one in for free. We help facilitate evangelism that way. Also on our website, freeword.org, okay, you can download a lot of our evangelism training material, no cost at all. And we also have an evangelism resource video library, such as videos like The Cross or the Crescent, The Mormon Puzzle, videos to help you get even deeper in understanding the different religions and faiths that exist in our world. Okay. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3 that the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, they will and because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables. It also says, and this is most sobering of all, that in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 and 9, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world today populated by 6 billion people, different cultures, different faiths, different nations. How do we reach them with the gospel? The Bible has simply separated people into two categories, the saved and the lost. That's it. You're either saved or you're lost. And today we'll be examining where we've been in this great battle, where we've come from, where we are now, and where we're going. Today we'll be talking about the devil's weapons and tools. God does not want us ignorant of the devil's designs. And he doesn't want us ignorant of his great plan and the free resources he's given us and the power he's given us. Now again, our modern Christian culture, we're going to take a look and a hard look at these things, that it is just simply not living up to the biblical standards that God has set forth in his Bible. Okay. Thank you. As an overview, we're going to be talking about the state of our world, the enemy's weapons and plans, our modern Christian culture, as I said, the biblical method for engagement, also God's plan, provision, and our participation. So, 6 billion people. Any idea how many people are going to die this year? What the world death rate is? The world death rate is estimated to be 57 million people will enter into eternity this year alone. This one year, 57 million people. How many of them are lost? How many have already been lost since Jesus Christ died and rose again? That is a huge number. And it's up to Christians to do something about that. God has entrusted us with the gospel. God has given us all the resources we need. And today I'm going to share with you ways that you can win whole nations to the Lord. Yes, it sounds strange. There's only a handful of you here. But I bet you there's people here whose lives have already touched thousands upon thousands of people and already millions of people. So, let's get into it. Okay. Our enemy's weapons and tools. Next one, please. You. Next one. Okay. Let me ask you a question. What do you think our enemy's weapons are? I like a little give and take, so call out. We're a small group. Yeah. What does he do? What's his weapons against the Christian? Lies, deceptions, what else? Complacency? I can't hear you. Thank you. Cynicism. Riches, what else? You? Hit that? Lies. Next. Sickness. Next. Physical harm. We just heard recently that in Iraq, right, 5 Christian churches were blown up. The devil wants to kill Christians, absolutely. And he'll do it any way he can. Okay, some of his tools, people, doctrines, and even angels. Today you'll hear of at least 2 religions that were started by angels coming down from heaven, false messengers of God starting religions. Now, does anyone know what they are off the top of your head? Mormonism? Big one. Million, billion people? Islam. Okay. And it's no wonder, because for even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants do the same. The Bible tells, and the Bible is filled as you read it, of all the different encounters and obstacles that the Apostle Paul and other Christians had to face. False brethren, false teachers, the Bible warns us about. False prophets, false apostles, false Christs. Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, and even false angels from heaven. It's huge, the onslaught. And you know, think about our media today. In every form of media, from television to the internet to cable TV, we are inundated with either truth or a lie. And unfortunately, mostly it is a lie. What's the only truth that Christians have, and what's the only truth in the world? The Word of God. That's the only truth there is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In fact, it's going to get so bad, as we all know, the Bible says that there's going to be a great man who stands up, who's going to look so good, who's going to be so appealing, who's going to be so powerful, that he will deceive many. He will deceive many into taking the mark. He will deceive many into following him. He's going to come on the scene, and it's almost, the Bible says, if possible, even the elect shall be deceived. That's how strong a delusion is coming on this world. And look at the state of the Christian church. This message today and this invitation went out to thousands of people, okay, in the Dallas area. Thousands. But God has chosen you to be strong in these last days, to take a stand for Christ, and to make a difference in the lives of others. It's up to you and I. Okay. Now, we know that our country is already in a state of war. Next slide, please. Okay. If I was Donald Rumsfeld, because he's a great communicator, I think, anyway, one of the things he would do is, because we're in a state of war against terrorism, he would tell you where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. He helps answer those questions. So let's just review real quickly some of the basics that we already know. We know that this battle started in heaven. Didn't start here on earth, it started in heaven, back when Lucifer rebelled. Of course, my computer's not working like it should, but that's all right. We know that man, as a result of this battle that took place in heaven, was deceived, and he is now fallen. We know that man also lives once, and then comes the judgment. There is no second chances, only once. We know that God has sent his Son as a sin offering, and that's the good news. We also know, thank you, what the gospel is. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We know that. We've been entrusted with that. That is the truth that will set people free. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to all who believe, to the Jew first and also the Greek. We also know what the purpose of the gospel is, as I just stated. The gospel is the vehicle that brings people to faith in Jesus Christ. We know whose responsibility it is to share the gospel. It is ours. And we know that we shall all give an account of our lives before Jesus Christ. Of these things we all know. Okay, the question is, where are we today in this battle? I'm going to take a hard, and we're going to take a hard look, because the Bible says, examine yourselves and see if we're in the faith. That's important. If we don't examine ourselves in light of the Word of God, and say, okay, Lord, am I doing what you called me to do? Am I living out my life as you had called? If I'm not doing that, then I'm possibly living a self-deceived life. I may be thinking I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when I haven't done well. Right? We don't want that to happen. None of us here want that to happen. We're going to examine five areas. First, the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We know what it is. We know what it says. The sad reality is that many Christians are treating this commandment as optional and not a commandment. This is no less of a commandment to go than it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's a commandment. This is not optional. We can't rely on a pastor or an evangelism team or someone else to live out this commandment for us. It's just like love your wives, love your husbands. It's a commandment. It needs to be followed. Now, Paul deals directly with the discipleship question. when he asked the question in Romans 10 and 14, when it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Can't do it. People can't call on Jesus Christ and on the name of Jesus Christ to be saved if they don't know anything about him. Can't do it. So, discipleship, like Jesus said, go and make disciples. Discipleship cannot happen apart from the Word of God. And I find it incredible, don't you, that many Christians even fail to carry gospels, tracts, Bibles with them for the sake of others. This is so simple. We could be doing this. Now, I'm without excuse because I know God has provided these for me absolutely free, and he's provided for you as well. Okay? Discipleship cannot happen apart from the Word of God. We have to get it in the hands of people. With regard to the Great Commission, how many churches make it a goal in their life to make sure that every home around their church has a Bible in it? Not many. Why not? There is no systematic approach to making sure that every home has a Bible in it. There is, but a lot of churches aren't doing that. We're not coming together. We're not knocking on doors like the cults are knocking on our doors. Well, that's just not done. I'm sorry, you know. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. We're not embarrassed. You have something wonderful that God has given you. God has done great things in your life. We should never be embarrassed for the Lord, and I know you're not. That's why you're here today. Okay. For I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. We live in a free society. We live in the United States. Distributing the Word of God should be easy for us and free for us. We should take advantage of these things. Let me stimulate your holy imaginations for a minute. What would this country be like if every Christian stood on the street corners of America and gave Bibles away free? Huh? What would it be like? You change this world for Christ. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to have to back up a little bit, but keep that thought in mind. You change the world for Christ. How many churches have evangelism teams in them? How many people are on those evangelism teams? Does your church have an evangelism team? If not, I will help you any way I can, and Frisco Bible will help you any way they can, for you to start a church. We'll help you with resources, or start an evangelism team. We'll help you with resources. We'll help you get started. Many times people just need a hand to get started. Many times people want to go out and witness for the Lord, but they just don't know how to get started. We'll help you. I'll commit all my resources that God has given me freely to you freely, and anything you need to go out and win others for Christ. Okay. All right, the other area that we want to take a look at is the reality of hell. In our modern Christian culture, how often do you hear a sermon about hell? Not too many times, huh? You know, they don't hear it anymore. What do we hear? John 3:16, God loves you. God loves you, God loves you. Of course God loves you. And we hear about grace. Grace, grace, of course. But grace saved from what? Saved from hell. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we forget John 3:17, right after it. He who believes is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. He's condemned already. We take this so lightly in our society. I'm sorry if I'm yelling, I get excited. You guys would be yelling too. We take this so lightly. We're in a battle. The eternal destiny of people's souls lie in the balance, and we are getting entangled in things of the world. This is retarded. This doesn't make sense to me. Okay? It doesn't make sense to Paul. It doesn't make sense to Peter. It didn't make sense to any of them. That's why Paul said to Timothy, young man of God, don't get entangled in things of the world. Okay. Getting ahead of myself. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We should be weeping almost when we hear this. God sent his Son to save the world, and our Christian brothers are caught and entangled. In the parable of the sower, the seeds that were thrown on ground among the thorns, the thorns grew up and it choked the word, and it produced no fruit in their lives. That's what the Bible says. Because they were entangled with the cares of this world and the delight in riches. And it choked the word, and the word proved unfruitful. I have to struggle with that. You have to struggle with that. And every Christian has to struggle with the cares of this world. And we live in Frisco, the delight of riches. And we prove unfruitful. But we're overcomers in Christ. And again, this is not a message meant to condemn you at all, even especially you that are here, who took time to be out, to learn about even more the things of God. Okay. Along those lines, if you've never read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, we provided that for you free as well. Jonathan Edwards' track, it's incredible. And more people should learn to know what it's about. I heard it for years, and I've never read it myself, and then I started downloading it and started reading it, and I started understanding how real an eternal God is and how long forever really is. An eternal God with eternal punishments, but an eternal God with eternal mercies. We know, thank God, we know, Christians, we're in the covenant of grace. But people think they're going to get their sins forgiven if they're outside the covenant of grace. They're not. You know this. I know this. We need to communicate that to them. Now, this is not a conference that we can just sit down and take it in and listen. This is an application conference. We're going to give you opportunities to change the world. You see that little table over there? All you have to do, I'm going to plant a seed in you now. If God leads you, all you have to do is set up a table like that in a busy place and set up gospels, and people will come by and take them. There's a hunger out there, but we're not making ourselves available. That's as simple as you can do, and we'll supply all the gospels you need. Every day you plant just a few seeds, every day you will reach thousands upon thousands of people. Trust me, I know. God has allowed me that great joy to realize this and to experience it, and you can too. Okay, another area where we're failing is Christians fail to realize their role as soldiers and ambassadors. Paul said, see where we're at here, okay. Paul said to Timothy, Paul often would refer to his fellow soldiers in 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 as a fellow soldier. In Philippians 2:25, Paul said, "Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my fellow brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier," and Archippus as well. What do you call a soldier that will not engage in the enemy? Call it out. What do you call him? Coward. Traitor. Coward. Do you know that in Revelation 21, what tops the list of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God? The fearful. The cowardly, the unbelieving. Let me read this. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things," God says. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's the good news. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God takes a dim view on the fearful. And I hear Christians all the time say, I don't want to go out. I'm not going to mention any pastor's name, but I just heard a pastor last week and say, you can see people on the street corner trying to justify their salvation. No, that's not why people are on the street corners. They're not trying to earn their way into heaven. Jesus Christ was compelling people to come into the kingdom of God, and he tells us to do the same. I'm asking you to go on the street corners of America, not just to win back this nation, but to save the lost. We need to sanctify the Lord God not only in our hearts, but we need to sanctify some time in our lives to go out and fulfill the Great Commission, because the eternal destiny of souls are on the line. We are not going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we're not doing what God calls and commands all Christians to do. Okay. Next, ambassadorship. We're forgetting when it comes to our ambassadorship in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of an ambassador that wouldn't leave an embassy? Have you ever heard of an ambassador that just says, "No, I'm content, Lord, I'm just going to stay right here and do my paperwork"? You have to. Now, that's important, okay? I don't want to downplay it. That's important. Building up God's kingdom is important. But when you don't go out and make yourself available, you are not fully fulfilling your role as an ambassador in this world. I'm not. If I just get involved in all the good things that are involved in church, but I never make myself available to Jesus Christ and to those who are lost out there, and let God use me to help save somebody else, to bring the gospel to them, I'm not living out my role as an ambassador. Let's take a modern-day example of a fireman. He gets all the equipment, right? He has the hat, he has the gloves, he's got everything he needs, the overcoat. He has a nice, fiery red fire truck. Okay? What would you think of that fireman who wouldn't leave the firehouse? Isn't that incredible? When you think about it in those terms, my goodness, God has equipped us, but we're not leaving the firehouse. The alarm goes off, ding, 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 ding. And no one moves. No one moves. Very few people run out the door to go save someone from a burning building. And what did Peter say? He said, "Save yourselves from this evil and adulterous generation." That was the preaching of Peter. He didn't pull any punches. He says this was an evil and adulterous generation. You look at America. Is it evil? Is it good? Yeah, there's some good things. But you know what? Abortion is not very nice, is it? That's pretty evil. Pornography that's running rampant, not only outside, but also inside in the church. It's destroying lives and destroying families. Lies, drugs, you name it. A fireman who won't leave the firehouse. That's a pitiful analogy, but true. Okay. Unfortunately, we're also being inadequately trained in our churches. We are. That's a fact. Okay? I'll go into more detail on that in a little bit, but we're not being trained as we need to be trained. Okay, accountability. We all remember the parable of the talents, okay? Where one man was given 10, one was given 5, one was given 1. Hope I got my numbers right. The question is, are we burying our treasures in our gifts? Are we being like that man who was fearful and burying the treasures and the gifts? Again, how can we expect to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Okay. Name some. You? Thank you. Let me ask you a question. I like feedback. Come on, you guys can talk. Name some great evangelists in the Bible. Now, if you're here at the other conferences, don't call out the answer I want to hear. What? Jonah. Jonah preached to Nineveh. Thousands were saved. Anyone else? Peter. Thank you. Peter. We just talked about Peter. Repent. Oh, that was John the Baptist. Sorry. John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter, save yourself. And 3,000 souls were saved in a day. Who else? The Apostle Paul, a preacher, an evangelist. Who else? Noah, very good. A preacher of righteousness in his days, for some say 100 years. That's a ministry. Thank God. What else? Anybody else? Moses? Anybody else? All right, you can call out the answer if you know the one I'm looking for. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus was the greatest evangelist of all time, and we as Christians sometimes forget that. To start off Christ's ministry, he walked into a synagogue right from the beginning and opened up to Isaiah 61 and said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has called me and anointed me to preach good news, to proclaim salvation," or to proclaim, see, I'm getting lost now, to proclaim, come on guys, help me. All right, hold on. Let's not just guess. Let's get it here. To proclaim liberty to the captives and to announce the acceptable day of the Lord. Three times Jesus said, preach, proclaim. That's why he was here. When we examine the Apostle Paul's life, Paul said, I make it my aim to preach the gospel. The gospel was meant to be preached. Many times Paul says, I, a preacher and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul put preacher even before his office as apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' instructions to a man who would follow him and said, Lord, I want to follow you, but my father has passed on. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. And Luke tells us, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God, he says to Luke. Jesus sent out the 70 to preach and to teach and to heal. He commissioned the 12. What did they do? To preach. Again, Romans 15:20, Paul said, I make it my aim to preach. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, he sent me to preach. Paul regarded himself first as a preacher, as I said before, and an apostle. Okay. There are two words that are most associated when you hear the word gospel, that are most associated with the gospel. Do you have any idea what those two words are? What? Good news. Gospel. Gospel. So when someone says, I've got the gospel, I'm thinking of, what should you do with the gospel if you're an unbeliever? Believe. So when you hear, thanks, Tim. When you hear the word gospel, two things come out. Believe and preach. When you read through the scriptures, there's two words always associated with the term the gospel, believe and preach. In our churches today in America, what message is constantly drilled in our head from the pulpits, good men, but what is the message? Is it preach or is it believe? Believe, 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 believe. We already believe. The message to Christians should go and preach. Preach what you believe, okay? There was a time when the church turned the world upside down. Now the world has turned the church upside down. Now this is hard, okay? But this is the truth. The world has turned the church upside down. Christians are so complacent when it comes to the Word of God. And I'm condemning myself at times too, okay? Christians are so complacent. We would rather get a paid professional to speak to us. And then those paid professionals just preach in here to us, and we're happy. The most educated, well-equipped person, and we keep them in here, needs to be out there. Needs to be training us to go out there. Does it make sense? Makes sense. Okay. Preach and believe. In Acts 1:8, you shall be my witnesses when the Spirit comes upon you. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Some people will tell you it's something else, okay? I'm going to show you my doctrine. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses when the Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses everywhere, all around the world. You want the evidence that that people are Christians or someone's a Christian? See if they're preaching and talking about Jesus. And I'm talking about the real Jesus, not some of the false Jesuses in Christ you'll hear today that other people will expose. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness to Christ as well, right? We as Christians bear witness to Christ. That's the true evidence of the Spirit. Okay, let's move on. Question is now. Okay, thank you. If I was to show you a way that you can win your nation for the Lord, would you do it? Oh, praise God. Thank you. Oh, brother, without hesitation, yes. No, I'm just that meant a lot to me. Absolutely. If I was to show you, the Bible reveals a way that we can win this nation and all nations for Christ. It's plain, it's simple, we just need to apply it. It's found in 2 Chronicles, get my notes here straight. 2 Chronicles 17:9. during the reign of King Jehoshaphat. And this is the Old Testament. We have an Old Testament example of how to win people to the Lord. In the reign of King Jehoshaphat, one of the first things he did is not only he fortified the cities, okay? He sent the Levite priests out into every city to teach the people the word of God. In fact, it continued on, and through the reign of King Josiah, the Levites were known as those who taught all of Israel. That is how you win a nation to the Lord. You go out and you read the word of God. Let the word do the work. You and I just bear witness to the Lord and bear witness to his word, and he will draw people to him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's how we do it. There's sacrifice involved. You guys had to sacrifice to be here. We had to sacrifice to be here. But it's worth it. It's worth it. We will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if we do the things of God. And that's how you turn around and win a nation to the Lord. Remember I told you, what would this country be like if every Christian just on Sundays gave out the Bible free? Every Christian mobilized. Millions of Christians in the United States is coming together one day and says, this is the day we're going to give away the word of God free. From this day forward, we're going to read his word. We're going to start in Genesis. We're going to read it all the way through. We're going to start in the New Testament. We're going to read it all the way through. We're going to attend to the public reading of Scripture. Like Paul said to Timothy, young man of God, attend to the public reading of Scripture. Do this. Now, when I first heard this as a young Christian, I said, what, are you kidding me? Come on. Why should I do this? And I met some people who were attending to the public reading of Scripture that were preaching on the streets in New York. And they said, Bob, you're a young man of God. I said, yeah. He said, then this verse is for you. Attend to the public reading of Scripture. A friend of mine called Richard Cantarella. I looked at him. I said, Richard, you're crazy. There's no way. And I started thinking. I said, why not? Well, what do I have to be ashamed of? What do I have to be? I know what God has done for me. You know what God has done for you. Well, what's there to be ashamed of? What are we going to be afraid of? What? Jesus said, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both the body and soul in hell. That's who we are to fear. So we are to fear the Lord. And let God use us greatly. That's how you win the nation for the Lord. Now, God has committed a lot of resources to the ministry, Free Word Ministry, and that means he's committed to you, okay? If you need anything, I will commit myself to help you get started. If you want to claim an area like we did, claim a park for the Lord. Park is a public place. Go set up a table like this and just, you don't have to preach if you don't want to preach. I mean, God will move on you. I believe he'll raise you up to be a preacher. You know, the Bible says that we are being transformed into the image of Christ. What kind of man was he? Jesus had the wonderful ability to minister to thousands or to minister to few. He spoke one-on-one with the woman at the well, or he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount and preached to thousands. You have that ability as well. I have that ability as well. There's two types of fishing methods. You can fish with a hook, which is one-on-one, you and the fish, or you can fish with a net, which is one-to-many. You fish with a net, you're bringing in a haul. Of course, you got to cast on the right side of the boat, but we won't go into that. You're bringing in a haul. There's going to be a great catch. So, Jesus was a preacher. We're being transformed into his image. So get ready. God's going to do great things in you. Let me ask you a question real quick. Okay. I grew up in a fishing community. Anybody here grew up in a fishing community? I grew up in a place called Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. Okay. I know it sounds like I have a Texas accent, but it's really from Brooklyn, New York. Okay. In that area, you have fishing boats that you go out on every day. Now, I was visiting New York, and this was visiting my parents there. This was the last day, and I don't know, you know, I really miss kind of New York, okay, because my parents and my brothers are there and all. And the Lord woke me up early on this last day. This is early. It's about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I normally don't get up that early. And I went out to the bay and got myself a donut and coffee, and I'm going to share it with you guys. And the Lord said, you go back and get some gospels. So I went back and I got some gospels, and go take your walk now. So I'm going to take my walk. And in Sheepshead Bay, you have the fishing boats, like I said, but you also have fishermen there. And the question is, why did Jesus pick fishermen? Keep that thought in the back of your mind. I'm walking up to these two guys, and a guy comes up to me, and he asks me a very profound question. He looks at me and says, are you going fishing today? And I smiled, and I said, well, no, not the way you think. But let me give you this gospel. The Lord will do a good work in your life. That's all you have to do. Let me give you this. The Lord will do a good work in your life. And he took it, gladly, smiled, was polite about it, said, thank you. A lot of times we Christians think that people don't want to hear the gospel. They're starving out there. They want the gospel. A lot of people don't even know they need the gospel, but God is pulling them and drawing them, okay? Another guy, the other gentleman that was with him said, no, thank you. Very polite, okay? Didn't curse, didn't scream, didn't get angry. He said, very polite. No, thank you. He said, fine. Continue walking on my way, looking at the fishing boats. Very interesting. You look at the people in the fishing boats, all these fishermen. Some are over there getting their bait and their tackle ready. They're getting ready to go catch a big fish. They're all excited. Others are just sitting around talking, drinking coffee and stuff like that. And I looked at that. Now, there's a bridge that spans the bay. And so I walk down and I walk across to the bridge. And I get to the middle of the bridge. And now I'm heading facing the east. And the boats are going out. And the horns are blowing. And the sun's coming up. And I'm saying, Lord, for me, I said, this is beautiful. This is great. And I started thinking, I have a lot in common with those fishermen. And I started thinking about the different fishermen on the boat. I said, you know, they all have the same thing in common that I have in common as well, and they had the same thing in common with one another. They all got up early. Most of them were having breakfast. They were all going to go fishing. But not one of them was guaranteed to catch a fish that day. Not one. You will not and are not guaranteed to win somebody to Christ. What is it that drives fishermen on a boat that they got to pay money for and they're not guaranteed to catch a fish? Is it just a fellowship? Yeah, some people, they're just a fellowship. Okay? What is the strength that got them up and get going? Anybody? What do you think? Passion. But what is the strength that carries them through when they didn't catch any fish? Hope. Hope is the strength of the Christian. We hope that people will be saved, okay? Use that. That is our strength, the hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us, the Bible says. The strength that these men have was hope. They went out in hope. And we need to go out in hope as well, and in faith, and in love. And when we do that, we're not disappointed. The farmer who plants a seed doesn't stand around like this and say, okay, come on, let's go. All right, come on, grow. Doesn't lose his patience. He knows it is going to take some time. This is going to take, he's got to water, you got to prepare the ground, you got to do everything that's involved in getting a harvest, okay? Now, every now and then when you go out there, you know, God will let you see a reaping right there, and maybe you'll be part of that reaping. Maybe not. But you'll be part of the planting, you'll be part of the sowing, and then be patient and let God do the work. We go out in the strength of hope. Okay. All right, let's go back quickly on the idea and concept, if we could, of a soldier. Okay. A soldier that enters in, anybody in to serve in the armed services here? Anybody? Okay, there we go. All right. You guys been in basic training? In basic training, some of the things, okay, if you would, you. They focus on becoming physically fit. We need to do the same thing. We need to get off the spiritual milk and get on to the meat of the word. Okay? I'm going to share a little tip with you in my life. Christian radio is great, but if that's all I got, I get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. If I'm not in the word of God, I become weak. It is a substitute for me. Christian radio is like candy. And if you're addicted to candy, like I am in a lot of cases, you're not going to grow strong as you can. You're going to need the meat of the word. Next. That's the other thing they teach you in basic training is to follow orders. Jesus Christ is our commander. Jesus said in Luke, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Right? Can you see a commander saying, I gave you orders to follow. You didn't follow. Why do you call me captain? Why do you salute me? Why do you say you're not going to follow my orders? We're not going to be like that. Next. So they teach you how to do that. Again, be an overcomer. Be an overcomer with love and boldness and faith. Put on the whole armor of God, the Bible says. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel. We're leaving our shoes at home. We're leaving our shoes in church. They've got to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. And thank God you guys have been chosen by the Lord to come out and to make a difference in this world. You really have. You've been chosen. You are the elect of God to go out and save. To go out and be used of God to save others. Okay. Again. Fear not him who can kill the body, Jesus said, but fear him who can kill both the body and soul in hell. Being a better soldier, let me just give you some basics. We're getting to the end here, so hang in there. Some basics. Thank you. Commit to carrying Scripture with you at all times and teach others to do so as well. My goodness, isn't that the basic thing? Isn't that the least we could do? That's the least we can do. Commit to carrying Scripture with you at all times and teach others to do so as well. The Bible says, commit these things to faithful men who are able to teach others also. That's what Paul said to Timothy, and that's what we're doing today, and that's what you and I are. We are faithful if we do these things, and so we're going to commit them to you, to teach others also. Put a display rack in your church or your business. Many Christian businesses don't even utilize their business for Christ. And they can. They simply can. We'll supply the display rack free. It looks like that one over there on the display. If you want one, let me know. I'll get you one. Okay. Start an evangelist team in your church. If you don't have one, start one. Find out who's evangelism-minded. We have free resources like A Bible in Every Home that'll help you and give you a plan how to make sure Bibles are in home. My buddy Tim over here, he's a good man who went out and bought some Bibles, heard the word, and says, I want to make sure that everyone who comes to my church and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior gets a Bible. Does that make sense? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Make sure that your church has Bibles for those who receive Christ. Make sure your church goes out and reaches the lost in their neighborhood and make sure that they have a Bible in every home. You know how many people, when you knock on a door and you say, I got a gift for you. No, I'm not here to ask money. You see, this is what distinguishes you, a true Christian, from the cults, is the love of money. In many cases. When you out there, and you say, I got a gift for you. I want you to have this Bible. People are amazed. First of all, they turn around and say, you spent money for this? This is important? And then they start thinking, I'm important enough that you would take money out of your own pocket and give it to me and make sure I have a Bible and make sure my family's safe. The wheels start turning. They start thinking about eternity. They start thinking about the value they have in Christ and what Christ paid. It's an amazing thing when you do things for free. No holes attached. You know, one of the things, it's just this is to God be the glory. When I was preaching back in New York a long time ago, before I ever met Absolutely Free Incorporated, the very words I would say when people would be sitting out in a public park like this, I would come out and I'd say, what a beautiful day, praise God, we have New Testaments for you, absolutely free. I must have said absolutely free, I don't know how many times, thousands upon thousands of times, and what does the Lord do? Gets me in touch with a ministry that is called Absolutely Free and gives me gospels absolutely free. They have given my ministry, your ministry, Free Word Ministries, over 800,000 copies of these in the Dallas area, and they've gone all over the place. Absolutely free. God, that's wonderful. God has a sense of humor. God amazes me sometimes, all the times, right? Hey, Jess, Lord bless you. And Jess is another man of God. Now, I like to get to know all of you, who goes out and gives the Word of God away free. How many of you have visited the resource, Evangelism Resource Warehouse? Anybody here has visited before? Raise your hand. Jess, I know you have visited the warehouse in Dallas. Okay, all right. And some of you are just learning about it for the first time. Pick up a business card, call the number, get the resources you need. God will do a good work in your life and through your life. Okay, where was I here? All right. Attend to the public reading and distribution of scriptures. The best time to do it for me, I'm going to share with you, is during my lunchtime. Do I really need another sandwich? No, I really don't need another sandwich. I don't. I don't need another sandwich. It may surprise you. Byron. That's why Byron. All right. That's a good time. I got a family life. I got a work life and stuff like that. But you know what? During your lunch hour, find a place. Set up a table. Make yourself available. God will use you. Support those organizations that minister to others freely. I'm just encouraging you. You're a steward of God's resources. You do with the money that God directs you to. Okay? And one thing that's good, first of all, this conference is free. Lunch is free. The Word of God is free, even more important. Okay? But have your church and you as an individual think about supporting ministries that do things for free at their own expense, like absolutely free. Now, I don't work for them, okay? I don't work for them. I told you, they gave these items to me free, and I want you to have them as well. Another one is World Missionary Press. These little scripture booklets that came in your packet are available in over 300 languages. 300 languages. They're great for mission trips. I heard people who go on mission trips, they go there to do a good work, but they leave scripture home. They don't bring any Bibles with them. They don't bring any scripture with them. Something's wrong there. When you leave scripture. Okay? So, this is free as well. And all you have to do is go to their website and order it. It's that simple. Go to their website and place an order. And if you don't want to wait, come to the Resource Warehouse, which is in Carrollton, and take what you have. Take what you want. It's free. All right. With these closing truths. This is the only time we'll have in our lives to live by sightless faith. This is it. This is the only time we'll ever have to live by sightless faith. When Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to see him as he is, face to face. And we're going to be transformed like him. And we're going to follow his commandments. And we're going to do what he tells us to do. But this is the only time we have to live by sightless faith. This is the only time when we can stand before him and he can really be pleased. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas? Thomas said, Lord, I'm not going to believe in you unless, and I don't blame Thomas. I mean, you know, he's a regular guy. He's a practical man. I'm not going to believe you unless I stick my fingers in your hands and my hands in your side. And when Jesus appeared to him, he said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. And that's us. Blessed are you because you haven't seen Jesus. But yet you believe because the Spirit of God bears witness to your soul that the Word of God is true and able to change people's lives. And just like it changed your life, and like it changed my life, it can change the life of others. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close with these three questions. These three questions are always before me in my life, and I believe they could be before you as well. Unless you got other questions. Let me ask you the first. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Very good. Second question is this. What are you willing to do to place it into the hands of the lost? Everything. Everything. There are organizations out there starving for people just to give out Bibles. They need help to give out Bibles. One I'm associated with is called the Gideons. You qualify, they'll give you what you need. Free Word Ministries, if you don't qualify as the Gideons, we'll give you what you need. And the last question is this. When the Son of Man returns, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? Okay. Well, the Lord bless you. Thank you very much. We're going to be breaking. We'll have another speaker here in a minute, Dr. Job Martin, speaking on creation and evolution. And take a couple of minutes. He'll start at 10 o'clock, so you got about 8 minutes. You can relax. Everything on the table in the back's free. There might still be some coffee and stuff left. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you.